In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
By practicing Christian virtues, we're trying to have a Christ-like life and direct ourselves to God. One of these virtues, obviously, is faith. But faith doesn't justify us if it's not followed with good works. Today's gospel teaches us directly to that point. Wherever Christ went, he was followed by a large crowd of people. Not all were believers and lived according to his gospel, but many because they were just curious. Later, many of these followers would abandon him, turn against him, and even participate in his death. Now, during his saving mission, Jesus' headquarters was in Capernaum, and the people of Capernaum always followed and listened to Jesus, even witnessed his miracles, but never accepted Jesus as the Messiah and their Savior. Their hearts stayed cold, unable, and were unwilling to accept his saving gospel. They had the opportunity to see and listen to the Son of God, to witness his miracles, but they refused to accept him. Thus they brought damnation upon themselves. Jesus says, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have been remained until this day." Now the news that he came back to Capernaum spread very fast, and a large number of people gathered in a house where he was staying, so many that no one could even come close to the door. It says, "Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic carried by four men." Now, four men were bringing their paralyzed friend on a pallet, and this is the good works, with the faith that Jesus would heal their friend. They couldn't enter the house because the curious crowd didn't want to move aside and let them through. If they didn't find a way to bring their friend to Jesus, he'd stay paralyzed forever. Now, an obstacle on our path to Christ may be people who are actually part of our own lives. Knowingly or unknowingly, they can sabotage our efforts to reach Christ. One such example may be as simple as statements they make to you, like, "Why should you go to church? It's not necessary. It's enough to be a good person. You're not sick. Only sinners go to church." And the one that I like, "There's no fun in church." And there's a lot more than that, but they'll do or say all kinds of things just to make us feel uncomfortable until we stop fighting for our eternal life. If we don't overcome these obstacles, we'll stay spiritually paralyzed and never be able to reach Christ. If we renounce the gospel because of people, Christ on his judgment day will say, and he says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now, instead of giving up, these four men climbed up on the roof, and through the roof they lowered their friend on a pallet. And that sounds kind of easy, but if you think about how the houses were built in that time, people slept on their roofs because it was so hot inside. So they were reinforced with wood and mud, sometimes bricks. So in climbing on the roof and lifting their friends on a pallet, making a hole through the roof, they lowered their friend down. And now all of these efforts were the result of their faith in Christ. This is a lesson for all of us that faith is not about having positive thoughts about God, but rather that true faith requires man to start working for his salvation. And more importantly, faith without good works means nothing. The meaning of climbing to a height, in this case on the roof, is that we have to elevate our inward being above all worldly temptations, worries, and problems. Instead of thinking about temporary things of this world, we should direct our minds towards God. It's important to notice that while the roof above his head was being demolished, Jesus didn't say a thing. One complaint from Jesus, and they would have come down off the roof, but that didn't happen. Also, Jesus could have asked the crowd to move aside and let these people through, or he could have come closer to them. But that didn't happen either, because he wanted to show the faith and good works of these four people to help their friend. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven. The great faith of the paralytic is obvious. He's going through all these troubles because he believes that Jesus will cure him. Also, the people that carry him have visible, deep faith. And they believe that Jesus can cure their friend. We can clearly see the effort of this group of faithful people who care about and carry one of their own. Because of their faith and good works, Jesus heals. Now, Christ knows that this man is physically paralyzed, but the first thing he does is to forgive his sins. And after that, to restore his physical health. So why is it in that order? Well, because of the purpose of Christ coming into the world is to liberate every man from sin and to reconnect him to our Heavenly Father. At the same time, Christ shows that for humans, sins are more destructive than physical illness because sins separate man from God. Sometimes our sins can also be the source of physical illness in this suffering world. Curing the sick man in Bethesda, Jesus told him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." Now, some of the scribes that were sitting there reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God himself?" Now, the scribes know very well that God is the only one who can forgive sins. That's why in their hearts they see that it's a blasphemy, and also because they don't recognize Jesus Christ as God. But Jesus, who can read their hearts and thoughts, tells them this: "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Even the people witnessing this miracle didn't understand, but by forgiving the sins of the paralytic, Jesus was doing the more difficult thing first. Because forgiving sins, firstly, is only possible to God. And the people watching and listen to all this, forgiving sins seemed easier because you can't see them. Now, what would happen if Jesus would have healed the paralytic of his sins, and yet he couldn't get up off of his pallet? Now, that's exactly what the scribes wanted to happen. They wanted to show that Jesus was a charlatan and to discredit him to all these people. So after forgiving his sins, Jesus also healed the physical illness of the paralytic. Because a completely healthy man has to be both spiritually and physically healthy. Now, Jesus does three things that only God can do. First, he can read people's hearts. He knows the thoughts of the scribes. Secondly, forgiving sins is the authority that belongs only to God, and he confirms that by his word. And third, curing physical illness by his word is only possible to God. Now, our Lord does all these things to show himself as the true God, the liberator of humanity in sin and death. Now, it's all up to us to work and make efforts to come before Christ and not to pay attention to people around us. Whatever is eternal in this world comes from God, not from people. Whoever is seeking glory and honor from people is unable to come closer to Christ. Our Lord patiently awaits with his open arms for every man to wake up and start working on his faith, his good works, and his salvation. The worst possible option is to give up on our fight just because we put people in front of our faith and what they think before our love and devotion to God. That, brothers and sisters, is how we cut ourselves off from eternal life. Amen. Christ is in our midst.